Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm going to talk like a slow Skype connection and change the speed of my speech. No. Why am I doing this? I don't know. But it is National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. No hyphen there because hyphens are for losers. And you can go to National Bugle. No, you can go to republicbroadcasting.org and you can support RBN. Keep free speech alive until 5 and past 5. And also go to nationalbugle.com. No hyphen there because hyphens are for losers. Nationalbugle.com. And you don't have to click on the donate button. It is a free service. It's like free lunch, only tastier. And you know why it's tastier? Jeremy, do you know why National Bugle Radio is tastier than a free lunch?
It's because it offers the kosher certified app.
Because
you can eat your food.
Yeah, that's right. Certified. Not kosher certified. And you can be sure it's not kosher certified when you download that kosher certified app. And that is a free lunch we can all get behind. And free lunch for only $2.99. That's as cheap as you're going to get a free lunch for. And it's tasty and non-kosher certified. And non-hyphenated. There you go. If they just merged kosher and certified into one word, got rid of the hyphen because hyphens are for losers, and it's just one word, kosher-tified. Good deal. All right, so we have a good show. Lots of stuff going on. What about all this gay stuff?
Well, Patrick, yeah, it's good to be with you on National Bugle Radio. I mean, how the are you tonight?
Okay, that's not the gay stuff I was looking for. I shouldn't be looking for gay stuff at all, but I thought we were going to talk about gay stuff and not, like, Trump stuff. What's up with all this? Why was Trump like that anyway?
Well, as you know, our president was on Rush Limbaugh on Friday, just before the weekend, and he dropped the F-bomb on Iran. Have you heard this?
Well, better an F-bomb than an H-bomb, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, he did a two-hour show on Rush Limbaugh. It was like a little rally while Trump was still in quarantine. And it was really good. Trump said a lot of good things. He threw Fox News under the bus. He threw Billy Barr under the bus. But then, you know, in an attempt to, I guess, get some media coverage, he dropped the F-bomb on Iran. He knew that this would get media coverage. Of course, Rush Limbaugh has a little bit of a delayed, you know, there's a delay on there, probably 15 seconds or so. And so they bleep him out, but you can pull it up. You can just Google Trump's F-bomb and you can hear the actual monologue. And he basically says that Iran better not with us, or we'll do things to you that is never done to any other country.
Right. Yeah. So I guess that's red meat for the a lot of the. I don't want to say it because I don't want to throw them under the bus, but for the boomer normicons, maybe.
Yeah.
Or for the Judeo Christians or whatever. Christian Zionist.
It was definitely in this Politico article, politico.com, entitled "Trump Drops the F-Bomb on Iran." The president used the explicitive on Rush Limbaugh live radio show while discussing Iranian support for U.S. designated terrorist groups. What groups would those be? Would those be the freedom fighters that Iran supports? Hezbollah?
Yeah, Hezbollah. I mean, Hezbollah is a political party. It has a militia. That is the nature of Lebanese politics. The militia is probably more important than the Lebanese army. And Hezbollah has is it doesn't supply the president or the prime minister. Lebanon has this system where it's not written into the constitution, I don't think, but de facto, the president has to be a Christian, the prime minister has to be a Sunni Muslim, and the speaker of the assembly has to be a Shiite Muslim. And Hezbollah is a Shiite organization, but as it has pretty broad support because they've been the most effective in keeping Israel at arm's length, and Israel occupied southern Lebanon for many, many years. I think from 1978 to when was it? I can't remember when they withdrew. It might have been 2000 something. It was a long
time. What's interesting is Hezbollah, you know, protects these Palestinian Christians from Israeli aggression. So it's very ironic that these Christian Zionists in America would support Israel and call Iranian support of Hezbollah, like, say that they're supporting terrorists. You know, when there are Christian people in Palestine that are being protected by Hezbollah. So that's the irony. And another irony is that, you know, isn't it the Mossad and the CIA that have supported ISIS in Syria? So who's supporting terrorists here? You know, it doesn't sound like it's Iran. It sounds like it's our own CIA and the Israeli Mossad.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. And I do want to say, don't hold me on that time length for the occupation of southern Lebanon. I don't remember what that timeline is, but it was for a number of years, that's for sure.
And I think I understand why Trump did this. I can 100% disagree with him saying this about Iran, but I know why he did it. He was on Rush Limbaugh. There's at least 40 million people listening. And, you know, he wanted the mainstream media to pick this up. And so, you know, quoting Trump from the political article on Rush, he said, Trump talking about Iran, if you F around with us, if you do something bad to us, we are going to do things to you that have never been done before. I think this is a pre-election desperate grab for media attention where he wants to appeal to both sides because both the Democrats and the Republicans want war with Iran. They're neocons. I don't think Trump wants war with Iran. But I think he did this as a political stunt. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it was some sort of political stunt. And Trump, unfortunately, has always talked belligerently regarding Iran ever since his 2016 campaign, probably even in 2015. I remember in 2015, he and Ted Cruz, at September 2015, when the Congress was going to vote on the Iran nuclear deal, he and Ted Cruz went to speak against it. Now, Ted Cruz said all the predictable things. When at least the remarks I saw from Donald Trump about the Iran nuclear deal in 2015 weren't that alarming. It was like, hey, the European oil companies, they're going to get all these deals. The European construction, all the Europeans are going to get all these deals. We're not getting deals. What's up with this? What a lousy deal. We're not getting any deals because he's all about the deal, which wasn't too alarming, but it's gotten a lot more belligerent since then. Although he hasn't turned up the belligerency on Iran the way he had it turned up full volume at Kim Jong-un during his first year or so in office. He's never reached those levels. But this business about, you know, we'll do things to you that have never been done, and also assassinating General Soleimani, because he never assassinated any North Korean officials. So it's not good. I am of the opinion that Trump, because he's got these, what you usually call the right-wing Zionists in his camp, he's got these... a small section of the the, you know, Jewish power structure, and that is this those who prioritize Likud foreign policies, or you know, certain aspects of Israeli policy. He's got some of those in his camp, and so this is to keep them in the camp. He hasn't started new wars for Israel, and he has kept the most of the gifts to Israel have been symbolic things, which don't really change facts on the ground, like changing the signs on the U.S. consulate office in Jerusalem to an embassy, or saying that the Israeli occupation of Golan is legal. Well, that doesn't change whether they're occupying Golan or not. They're still they were occupying Golan, and they continue to occupy Golan. But yeah, that's how I see it.
Yeah, and as we've noticed, it's not what Trump says necessarily, it's what he does. Now, when it comes to what he does, he's actually a neutered president. I think, number one, it shows us that the office of president really doesn't have as much power as maybe a lot of people thought. Mm-hmm. Two, it also shows Trump has a talent at campaigning and at rhetoric, but he doesn't have a talent at governing, as you pointed out.
Yeah, to the extent that the presidency has power, he hasn't really figured out how to use it, how to tap into it.
If it even has that kind of power.
Yeah.
And so, but even if it did have lots of power, he hasn't tapped it. And so this is all rhetoric. This is rhetoric for him to win the election in, what, just a couple of weeks? Are we a couple of weeks away?
We're 3 weeks away.
Wow. And I'm hearing everybody from the left wing to the right wing, people on Facebook, normicons, everybody's talking about potential civil war in America around this election. So I heard you guys talking on Stormfront earlier this week. What would a civil war in America look like?
Yeah.
And you astutely pointed out that it's not going to be like people in gray uniforms versus people in blue uniforms, and it's going to look a lot different. I had a little bit of a thought on this, if you'd like to hear it.
Please do. Please let us know.
We have an example, maybe, in the cities of America over the last couple of months as what a civil war would look like. Let's point out Kenosha in mm-hmm. Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
You had, you know, a lot of left-wing Antifa, BLM types rioting, burning, and doing violence. And then you had citizens of Kenosha forming militias to protect their neighborhoods. And you had one Kyle Rittenhouse
mm-hmm.
who came to protect a business. He had medical supplies on him to try to help those that were wounded. And he had a weapon, a firearm, with which he used to defend himself. I think that in a coming civil war in America, you're going to see many cities in America like Kenosha multiplied by 10. You know, you may have 20 or 30 Kyle Rittenhouse figures out there doing what they do and trying to do good and protecting. But then in the aftermath, the FBI coming in and trying to demonize those American patriots who, out of goodwill and out of good intention, were trying to protect their communities against, you know, foreign Antifa and BLM forces that were brought in. And so I think that's probably what we're going to see. It's going to be mostly in the major cities, and it's going to be maybe a replay of Kenosha. What do you think?
I think that's out of the variety of scenarios that one could imagine, that is certainly one of the more likely ones. Because you can imagine in that scenario, the elite being largely untouched and, you know, maybe even in denial about what's going on. The elite is completely in denial. I mean, this whole mostly peaceful protest, largely peaceful. They're in complete denial about what's going on, in order to propagandize the rest of the country. And lots of people who aren't elite still haven't been touched by what's going on. You know, if you name a random city, maybe that downtown had, like, in once or twice during the summer might have had some nasty disruptions, but most of the people living in the suburbs of any town you want to mention probably haven't been affected and can continue with, you know, thinking that if they have a BLM yard sign in their front yard, that everything's fine and dandy. But the scenario that you're painting would make that a lot more tenuous, and a lot more people would be directly affected. And yet life would probably still go on for the most part. Businesses would probably, you know, McDonald's would still be open, gas stations would still be pumping gas. Or would they? What's your scenario?
Well, yeah, I think it's just what we've witnessed in, you know, in Seattle, in Portland, you know, Wisconsin, Kenosha. I think that that will be played out in more cities and towns in America,
mm-hmm.
and that the suburbs will be invaded, and that you're going to have American patriots that do defend their properties and their lives. And so if we have a Biden and Harris, you know, if they win the election or if they steal it, whatever, then they're going to use all of this as ammunition to build anti-white legislation to say, well, you know, we need to take the guns away from these white nationalist militias. Look at the violence that they did around the election. You see, I think that's the way that they're going to go with this. And even if Trump wins, and even if he comes out the winner and he's inaugurated, I think you're still going to have the deep state that works against Trump that's going to try to push Trump to accept this legislation to try to condemn these American patriots who defended their cities and their suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
So the violence that I think we're going to see happen, this deep state Jewish establishment, they're going to use it to try to enact anti-Second Amendment and anti-white legislation to paint everybody with a broad stroke. Everybody that's an American patriot that defended themselves, they're a white nationalist, and we need to take these guns away. I think that's what it's going to go.
Okay. I'll add another couple of brushstrokes to that scenario that you're painting. And being a boomer, I remember the 1970s, and I remember both in 1973, late 73, I guess maybe going into early 74, and in these, I guess it was the summer of 1979, where you had these Arab oil crises, especially the first one. And so you couldn't necessarily get gas when you wanted. There was rationing, there were lines at the pumps, gas stations were closed, and maybe that type of thing would become common. There would be disruptions in people's lives, but not necessarily people having to flee in the night. Maybe you have a little bit of that, but we're up at the break, so let's take our break, and we'll be right back.
Living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
We are back. So are we looking at Mad Max or something different? What is it?
Well, it's just interesting. You mentioned the 79, the oil crisis in the 70s. And then, of course, we had the Iranian hostage crisis. You know, when I was a kid in the 80s, I watched the Mad Max Road Warrior movies. There was three of them in the 80s. I haven't seen the new one. And I recently revisited these movies to show, you know, my son these movies. And it's very fascinating. The backstory to them is that, you know, the first Mad Max came out in 79. And the backdrop story was that Iran and Saudi Arabia had went to war with each other over oil.
Uh-huh.
And they're...
And this is a Mad Max movie? That was a backdrop?
This was the backdrop. Okay. To the Mad Max movies. There's three of them. The first one being in 79, and this is starring Mel Gibson, who's totally based. But anyway, so Iran and Saudi Arabia had went to war over oil, and there was this huge oil crisis. And so all of the cities in America, totally just civilization fell in all of the major cities of the world. And people moved out of the cities and into the rural areas. And so eventually what you had was people living in little rural compounds outside of the cities, because the cities were full of like biker gangs and criminals and just total degeneracy. Kind of like what we saw, you know, in Seattle, Washington, back a few months ago, and people were traveling on the roads from point A to point B. So the cops got together and they organized the special street patrol that would protect citizens on the streets from these outlaw biker gangs. And that was what Mad Max, the first movie, was about. Mel Gibson played a police officer who, special police officer who protected people on the roads from getting mugged and their provisions stolen. And so as the movies progressed, in the second Mad Max, The Road Warrior, you had gasoline becoming such a shortage and food becoming so short that, society digressed even further. And a lot of the police patrol disbanded and went into biker gangs for survival. And you literally had people fighting out on the roads for provisions, for food, and for gas. And then there was a nuclear holocaust. The nation, diplomacy finally broke down. And then you had the third Mad Max movie, which was Beyond Thunderdome. And that was a post-nuclear apocalyptic scenario where there was no more oil and people were scraping just to survive. And I went and revisited these movies, and I know it's Hollywood. It's a lot of Hollywood nonsense, but I found them very interesting as we look at the times that we're in. And so when I've mentioned in the past, we could be in a Mad Max scenario. That's what I'm talking about, where people literally are fleeing the cities and going out into the rural areas and trying to scrape together provisions for survival. I just thought it was fascinating to mention.
And the violence and the chaos is likely to be in the cities. It may extend into the suburbs because people who live in cities have reach into the suburbs. The rural areas, for reasons that you know well, are going to be a lot less susceptible to that type of thing, because because country folk are way more badass than city folk. I mean, it's just a fact. So, and you can look at, like, not that Yugoslavia or Bosnia is a great parallel, but that whole Bosnian civil war, you had the Croats and the Muslims who were city folk, and the Serbs, the Orthodox Christian Serbs, were country folk. And of course the country folk were going to, first of all, they live in the country, so of course they're going to occupy most of the land. But also they're going to win, because they're used to, warfare is, for the most part, done outside, not in the comfort of an office or anything. So, I don't know how hairy it's going to get in the United States. I have the feeling it's going to be pretty low grade, borderline. To the extent we have civil war, it's going to be kind of low grade and borderline. I could be wrong, and we might not have anything that people. We might be in a situation where we have a low grade civil war going on, but it will be low grade enough that the elite and the news media can still call it, mostly peaceful.
Yeah, and I mentioned the Mad Max movies. That's a Hollywood scenario. To come back to reality, you do see a lot of wealthy people fleeing the cities.
Yeah.
New York, Chicago, never going to be the same.
They're never going to be the same. Well, I'm thinking about it, but we're going to have to come back to reality.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper?
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispicos, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
back. And so just before the break, you mentioned people fleeing the cities, and of all people, the half-Jewish, although technically raised Catholic or something, Bill Maher from, you know, Politically, is that the name of the show, Politically Incorrect? He's been on TV forever. I know he had a show similar to that on cable TV back in the 1980s. I remember watching him in the 1980s. I'm pretty sure it was in the 1980s. Bill Maher. So he's been around for a long time. Bill Maher, of all people, taking Adam Schiff to task. What's with all of the Californians fleeing the state?
Well, they're not happy with the way the city is devolving. And they're going to actually red states, and they're going to rural areas, and so they bring with them
taking their foolish political views with them to a large extent, right?
Their political influence follows them, but also their money follows them. So I think what we're seeing, or what we're gonna see, is that if this keeps going between the Corona hoax and the BLM riots. People with money are going to get out of the city. They're going to go to the small towns in the rural areas, and they're going to spend their money there. And this, whatever this force is that wants to reshape the globe into globalism, they're going to reshape American cities into what they want the entire country of America to become. You know, these areas that where you don't have expensive restaurants. You know, there's restaurants in New York City that are never coming back because they're not having Broadway shows in New York City. They're not having all of the things that brings people in that spend money.
Right.
And so I think they're wanting to turn these cities into a place where you have all of these low rent Section 8 apartments that people live in, and you have very, very wealthy people at the top, and the middle class is eliminated, and you have everyone basically at a poverty level just surviving on the government. I think that that's the new normal, and that's what they want to try to force on America. And Trump, you know, with all of his faults, he's pushing against that, and that's why they want to get rid of him. And I think you're going to see this in countries all over the globe, because this lockdown and this BLM protest is not just in America. It's everywhere. It's in the UK, as, you know, Mark Hollett and Andy Hitchcock has pointed out to us, as what they see happening on the ground there. The new normal is going to be some sort of a global one world government where, you know, the majority of the population is in poverty, and you have a very small elite at the very top. Your thoughts on that?
Okay, so one of the, you know, I was describing what one scenario as being low grade, and I guess an important threshold in all of this would be the viability of the financial system. And when the USSR was dismembered, its financial system pretty much collapsed. I'm not a Civil War historian, a U.S. Civil War historian. I guess the whatever financial system was slapped together for the Confederacy, that would have wound up collapsing, right? That's why you can get those, all that Confederate paper money for pennies, right? The Stormfront show has something, keep your Confederate dollars, even if they're made of tin, something like that. But the Union financial system didn't collapse, did it? I guess it was,
No.
It was based largely.
Didn't it absorb?
They did issue greenbacks. They issued paper currency, but it probably underwent strains and whatnot, and took a couple of decades to pay off debts, but it didn't collapse.
Wouldn't you say that the Union sort of absorbed, the South? It prevented the South from being able to trade with Europe on its own. That was one of the results of the Civil War.
And there had been massive trade between the South, the states that became the Confederacy, and England in particular.
So if we could say that maybe that was a microcosm of what we're going to see, then we're going to see some sort of a global economy that absorbs all of these, national economies.
So
and maybe the dollar will fall.
For the United States, in the Civil War or whatever ensues, whatever follows this election or this contested election, whatever it is, will the elite be able to continue? Will the financial assets owned by the elite continue to be worth a lot? You know, they have a lot of financial assets. They've got their stocks and their various assets. So that the elite, are they going to maintain their financial wealth? Are the regular people, middle class people, are they going to be able to continue to use credit cards, or is that all going to collapse? And I think that's a pretty important threshold. If people's savings, if people's assets continue to have value, even if they drop significantly, if they continue to be able to use credit cards, even though Mark Collett and a lot of us might have services denied to us, but is the normie going to continue to be able to to use a credit card to buy things on Amazon, will Amazon continue to be to deliver? Even if a lot of stores close down, even if there's long lines or gas stations are undependable, is life going to go on such that people can still live in their house and that most people will still have jobs? Is that what it's going to be like? Or, you know, I mean, Syrian civil war, everybody was just, they were just going wherever they could.
Well, yeah, and I think they're wanting to build a scenario where, you know, everything is digital, everything is online, and, you know, cash and checks are done so that they can better control, you know, just like with Collett and with Dr. Duke. I mean, they've been denied bank accounts. And if everything is limited to an online currency, and you can't trade in hard assets that you can touch with your hands, then it would be very easily for the global elite to deny you monetary services for your political beliefs. I think that that's the ultimate goal. Now, are we going to get there in a couple of years or 10 years? I don't know how long it's going to take, but we can definitely see that they're taking steps to go there. I mean, Patrick, what's our national debt? $27 trillion?
I lost count, but it's like that, yeah. I remember when it surpassed $1 trillion. Yeah, so
there's no way of putting it off. I mean, that's talk about unsustainable. I mean, that is unsustainable. And who do we owe that debt to? You know, if we don't pay the debt, then Jewish elite that run the money are going to get us into war with other countries. So to avoid war, everyone's going to come together on a global currency. That's what I think it's going to.
Well, I mean, a certain amount of the debt is owed to foreign entities, to banks, individuals in China. I think it used to be Japan that held most of the debt. I think China does. For a while, Russia had a fair amount, but I don't think they're too significant now. Holland had a lot. England had a lot. But I think to a very large extent, it's held by the Federal Reserve. I think a lot of the increase has been held by the Federal Reserve. And what does that even mean for the Federal Reserve to be holding the debt? That could very easily be repudiated. It's not just the Federal Reserve. A lot of banks, a lot of mutual funds. I mean, there are all sorts of mutual funds that are holding these treasury notes. And I don't know, you know, I don't know what the breakdown is. Once upon a time, it was the type of thing I would look into, but I don't know what it is now.
You've correctly pointed out that during this whole lockdown in America and the economy failing, that the stock market has remarkably rebounded.
Mm-hmm.
So the real economy has fallen and taken a hit. And the economy being like actual work performed, goods and services exchanged. That's the real economy, but the fake economy, the stock market, hasn't been touched. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, so there is a fake aspect to the stock market. I think the stock market is subject to bubbles where there's this kind of psychological expectation of rising stock prices. And the market, if the market thinks that stocks are going to collapse, are going to be going up and up and up, and then they're going to collapse next week, they're going to collapse next Wednesday, there's going to be lots of people who would continue to buy and buy and buy and thinking that they're going to sell on Tuesday, right? I mean, there is that, but it's not completely fake. I think like Tesla right now is a bubble, but Amazon's share price has probably doubled in the past year or so. But with so many of its competitors having gone out of business and they're not going to come back in business, then there might be at least partial basis to it. I don't think enough to justify a doubling, but there's the part of the economy that's really suffered is small business. Small business doesn't issue shares, and so they're not listed on the stock market, you know, for the most part. And the companies, and a lot of companies on the stock market aren't doing well. AT&T's not doing well, and GE's not doing well, and Boeing's not doing well. But there are a lot of companies that are like bubbling up right along. So it's hard to say. It's hard to say.
Yeah, I mean, this whole scenario where the middle class is destroyed, small businesses are destroyed, it makes it where, you know, you have this vast amount of the American public who are working for a larger corporation now, and they can be controlled and manipulated. And the people at the very, very top, the elite, are not going to lose their wealth. When the restructuring or when the reset all happens, they're going to still be at the top. And the only change is that you're not going to have the middle class. I think that is one of the end goals.
So when the Soviet Union, because I keep going back to it because it is an example of a big, strong country that seemed like an empire that, you know, it wasn't going to come down, and everything happened really fast. They had a very different economic system, so it's not as if you can expect a rerun. But just to recap, they had a system. It wasn't market economics. It was a planned economy, and actually people had money. The problem with the Soviet Union wasn't that people didn't have money. The problem with the Soviet Union was that there wasn't anything to do with the money. That anything you really wanted, you needed to wait in a line, you needed to be on a waiting list. And in a way, that's very egalitarian because everybody gets 24 hours in a day. And if you wanted something good, you had to wait in line. It wasn't or anything good, wouldn't be on the shelves. But whatever was on the shelves was cheap. And so for a lot of people, they had money, but there's nothing to spend it on. So they just put it under the mattress. And then once you had the economic turmoil associated with the dismembering of the Soviet Union, and then especially the shock therapy where prices were freed up, when prices could go up to meet supply and demand, well, they went way up. And so you had all this inflation and all of the cash that people had in their under the mattress with anything anymore. That scenario couldn't exactly play out like that here, but you could have an awful lot of inflation. A lot of people point out that they've been printing money, so much money for stimulus, the deficit spending and whatnot. And if just going back to the 70s, you had periods of high inflation, even double-digit inflation. That was something that you used to hear, double-digit inflation. And you could have a return of that. And if you had double-digit inflation, especially if you're not talking about 10%, you're talking about 20%, and that goes on for a period of time, like 2 or 3 years, all of a sudden, you know, people's savings is very largely, you know, it's reduced by more than half. And if that goes on at the same time as like a stock market crash, to the extent, you know, people have money, have their assets in things like stocks as opposed to cash, people who had saved for retirement or whatever could find themselves in really bad shape. And that's the type of thing that could accompany a low-grade civil war and bring a lot of pain on people.
Yeah, and I'm going to actually give financial advice. This is Jeremy's financial advice. Is if you have money in the bank, take that and buy supplies of guns, ammunition, food, the military-grade food that could last for over a decade, and you spend your money on that, because you could very well see the day very soon where you have, you know, $100,000-$200,000 in the bank, and that could be deemed worthless, or at least worth a very small portion of its original value. But look at the guns. Weapons are doubling in price. Ammunition, that's where it's at.
Hey, gun ammo and canned food is part of a diversified portfolio. Okay, we're up at the break, but we'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
We are back, and so we kind of strayed from the prep, but is there something important that we don't want to let fall through the cracks?
Well, I wanted to reference this Daily Stormer article. According to the media, Joe Biden has a 91% chance of winning the election. 91%. Really?
Okay. I don't think the Las Vegas betting odds are like that.
We're reaching levels of gaslighting that shouldn't even be possible.
Hey, with all that gas from the gaslighting, I don't see why anybody would be worried about a second Holocaust, because there's not going to be any gas left over. Is that a bad joke? Is that tasteless?
Oh, go ahead, Patrick. What do you got to bring up? The hoax, the Holocaust. But anyway, from The Economist, it says it right here. Joe Biden has a 91% chance of winning the election. And it's using a lot of fake polls and stuff that we saw in 2016 where for, you know, days and days and months, they said Hillary was going to win. Hillary is above Trump. And actually, Trump won the election. I think this is even worse. I think that that Trump's going to win the election even bigger. And that this is just a way of like we said, gaslighting the public, getting them to trying to make believe things that their eyes don't see. And it makes people go insane.
So you know? If from last time I heard, which was just a few days ago, I think the Las Vegas odds makers have it something like 60-40 that they're you can place a bet on Biden. If you put $100 on Biden and Biden wins, then you win like 160 or something like that, or 170. You don't double your money. And if you place $100 on Trump, then maybe you'd win $130. So whatever, it's something along those lines. So it's not nearly what the polls show, but you can't just say, oh, well, the Hollywood, Las Vegas odds makers, they all they care about is the what's actually going to happen in the election, because that's not what they care about. They care about being able to match Trump bettors with Biden bettors and make it so that no matter who wins, that the odds makers are going to come out, you know, either way, that they're going to come out ahead because they have a margin. And so the Las Vegas odds are going to be impacted by that gaslighting, because gaslit people are going to be more likely to bet on Biden. If they think, oh, there's a 90% chance Biden's going to win according to the polls, and I can get, you know, $70 payout for a $100 bet, that sounds like a good deal. So they're going to do that. So the polls will impact the Hollywood odds makers. All right, we got like a minute left. What do you have for us in the last minute?
Well, something is going on here, because the World Health Organization doctors have came out from the WHO and said that the lockdowns were a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
So they're backtracking on that. Fauci's kind of been pushed off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
I think the establishment, the Jewish establishment, is panicking right now, because they know that the American public and the global public, they're not popular with them. These lockdowns are not popular, and the BLM protests are not popular. So they're trying to backtrack, and that's why they're showing these weird polls. Joe Biden winning by 90%. It's just their last ditch effort to lie,
okay,
and try to get people into not going to vote.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you, Patrick, and you stay classy, RBN.
And Jeremy will be back again tomorrow. I will be back again day after tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.